God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you.
Hey, Jonah, welcome.
Anyone else?
Hey, Nick, welcome.
At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask those in present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will help keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple actions. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 12. Please welcome our panel, Iran and Derek. I will read the first paragraph on page 96, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step 12, carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Page 96. Suppose now you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you are available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else.
Really?
Really?
Really? Fine. My name is Ariane. I'm a real alcoholic.
Hi, Ariane.
My sobriety date is February 27, 2009. I'm a sponsor. He knows he sponsors me. I have a home group. It's AA101. I meet Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock at Norfolk Sentara Hospital. I have the privilege of sponsoring other people in the program, a few committees, and I'm the new GSR for my home group. So I'm not giving you some long laundry list. I'm just letting you know that I'm still a part of the program, that I've saved my life because I got here as a homeless bum who pissed on himself because once I start, I cannot stop and I have a mind that will constantly time. I love drinking. I love the effect that's produced by alcohol, what it does to me and what it does for me. I remember my first drink. I was in college and someone handed me a screwdriver and I remember tasting it, and finally my mind did what it has been waiting to do its whole life. It quieted down and I went, you know, and I woke up in my favorite place, which is the cool, cold place next to the toilet. I love that place. And I woke up there and I remember my first thought was my mouth was all dry, my head, the top of my eyes were all, oh my God. I remember my first thought was I can't wait till I do that again. And I learned later in Alcoholics Anonymous, most normal people would not want to get that drunk and they would proceed not to get that drunk again. And they would not need to figure that out. They just would stop. I proceeded to get that drunk over and over and over again. And And I came to Alcoholics Anonymous twice. The first time I came to just thought I needed to settle down, and I'm very picky. So about working with other people, I don't know about anybody else, but work with other people look like I'd work you to death. I work what I needed to get out of you. And if you didn't give it to me, I go work somebody else. That's what I consider working with other people when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I see it's a little differently today in my life, but that's how I came here. That's the mindset. And that's exactly how I got here when I had my first, they were like, find a sponsor. And I was like, you want me to sit down with another grown person? So I was very picky, right? I was judge. They say my favorite line in Alcoholics Anonymous is stick with the winners. And then my other favorite line is don't judge. That is an oxymoron. How do you figure that out? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, but I was very picky. I was like, you're not cool enough. I don't like the way you look. But have you looked in the mirror since 1844? Oh my God, you play the piano. I sing. We'll call that sponsorship. And that's what we did. And then I got drunk again because I love the effect. And then I came crawling back into alcohol, pissing himself because it stopped. And I came, I started fighting the steps. I only did 8 steps. I was on 12. Right. And if you would have sent me with a book to read, I'm going to tell you now, if you would have sent me with a book to read, I would have thrown that book at you and then said, never came back. Right. But I came crawling back into Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened to me was a little bit different. Like, I became willing to start a conversation with another. And then in that, I love in this line, the having an experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. And that's all I ever got from us, right? Practical advice. They talked to me about how they started drinking, when they stopped drinking, what it looked like when they're like, not good enough, I am good enough. Be my friend, don't be my friend. Get close, don't get too close. I like you, I don't like you. Oh, my friend, I need something to shut that off, right? And then that drink was what they used. And then they were like, they kept describing themselves as alcoholics. And when they described themselves as alcoholics, I realized I might need a little bit more help. And so what happened to me was just really simple. I started following some people around and we did all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And we get here and they just asked me to do exactly the way they did it for me, right? We went to a meeting, we talked about it. They're like, you know, and we used to sit down with people at coffee shops and read together, like just kind of talk about it, just read together. But the thing that changed my life was those moments where I would talk with another alcoholic and they would share that practical advice with me about how they drank and how it brought them back to their knees and how they have survived one day at a time. And that is the thing that changed my life. I don't know if I was going to do them at the moment, but they were willing to try something different because that simple practical program of action finally took a hold in my fist.
So I'm Derek, alcoholic.
Hi, Derek.
Hey, Derek.
Good to be here with everybody. I'm especially. My sobriety date is July 23rd, 2021, but I have been a member of Alcoholics team. And I say that because that's the change for me. And I realized I was home. I had found where I needed to be all along. I had that first meeting out of detox and I picked up my first white. And I heard a man, Spen, share there. The words that were coming out of his mouth just were so like full of depth and weight. And I was like, this is where I need to be. And I shared that night my whole life story, probably. I was like, this alcoholism shit is crazy, y'all. And y'all were like, yeah, it is crazy. I have a home group. My home group is Cornerstone, right across the street from here. It's on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. It's a big book study. It's a great meeting. I'm a little biased, but I love it.
It's okay.
I have a service position in that group. So I want to touch on what Iran spoke about, where it says, having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Because that's all I ever try to do, is talk to another alcoholic before or after a meeting. I don't try and like attack them with my agenda to sponsor them or whatever it may be. I know how I wanted to be approached when I was new, and different things work for different people. We're all different. That's what makes this thing beautiful. Mm-hmm. But for me, anybody that like I felt was like coming at me, it never went well. I was like, get away from me. So I just try and be like, hey man, my practical advice is, I know how you feel. You know, I know what it feels like when you don't have a drink in your hand. I know what it feels like to be planning your next drink all the time. And I know that feeling when somebody tells you that you have a problem or that you need to give it up. And you're like, you feel like somebody's trying to take something away from you. The only thing that's helped you cope with life, really. That was my experience. Let him know you're available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. And, you know, I had something like that happen to me recently. You know, somebody came to talk to me and asked me to sponsor them. I said, yeah, of course. And then they ended up going with somebody else. And I'm like, okay. Cause I told them to call me or whatever, never called. And so I reached out and was like, you know, everything okay? And they're like, yeah, I just decided to go with so-and-so. Okay, that's fine. As long as they're getting help, that's what matters. Doesn't matter if it's through me or not. That's all I got on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks.
Okay, our next reading is on page 98. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give. That often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife. We simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence on God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
Further, I failed many years at this process. But it was because it's because of love, right? Like I'm not supposed to, I would try to kill myself. I should have been dead. I'm not supposed to have gotten sober. I am not supposed to be here. Like I lived in Portland, Oregon. I took a train from Portland, Oregon because I didn't want my parents to have to ship my body back from Oregon back to Virginia. Because I was about to kill myself. And so I took a whole train all the way back to take a bunch of pills in Richmond. And for some reason, I'm still here, right? And I'm like my life, I shouldn't be here and I shouldn't be sober and I shouldn't be happy and I shouldn't have a life that I have. You know, my mom and I was just talking to my sponsor the other day about my parents. Like my parents, I was a responsible one. Like my parents were both in the hospital at the same time. I was the one that everyone was going to find out what was going on. I was like, what the heck is happening here? Right? I'm not. And so with that, I say that because when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I found a solution in Alcoholics Anonymous. I wanted every single person. I would do anything, and I still will, for anyone who wants a solution. I will help you in any way possible. And sometimes that line between the difference between failure and success, that line between playing God and letting them rely on me and being allowing them to rely on God was a very thin line for me, you know? And that's where sponsorship for me. You know, that's where having someone else, I'm like, but I ran. I'm like, what? What am I supposed to do? I'm like, what am I supposed to do at the end of the day? So people woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning people came and picked me up and took coffee. They paid for coffee. My job is to be of helpful service as much as I possibly can. I believe that to the soul of my being because I'm not supposed to be here. And I am happy. I'm free. I'm not in prison. I'm not wanted. I don't know how this is possible without the power of God in my life. But I do know that I can't play God's life to, but I can give them the solution that God has given me in my life. And the thin line that I've discovered that lies for me, is especially for me, is not forcing it down the throat, learning how to be like, that's up to you, and step away. And you're ready? Then let's do this. Let's do Alcoholics Anonymous. Let's not do 500 other things that you want to do. I'm not your taxi driver. We're not going shopping. We want to read the book. Oh, you don't? I have to go do something else, you know? I've had to learn and discover that my idea of helping is my idea of helping. What does the book say? You know, what does the book say? And what does God really want me to do? He wants me to be of service, maximum service to the people, God and the people about me, which means that I get this opportunity to be of maximum service to people, which means it's not, all right, let me help you get your life together. Let me show you that you can do this without a house to stay live in. Let me show you can do this without your wife or whatever. Like, that's not my job, because I don't know, you know, I don't know that. I know for me, it was very hard to be a single gay Black man in Virginia trying to navigate this world of sobriety, feeling alone. But what I did was find people, like, there's some people in this room today that like walked with me, you know, we hung out, we read and we talked and we lived. And I found people who understood and thought the way I thought. And that's what I really have to offer to anyone today, is to show people that there's people like us that think the way we think, feel the way we feel, act the way we act. And there's a solution for that. And what is the solution for that? I cannot get you sober, but I can show you how I got. And that's all I have. I love here on this line is, some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. And then job or no job, wife or no wife. I've had job or no job sober. I've had husband and no husband sober. You know what I mean? I've had a lot of things, sober and drunk. But when I wanted to get sober, I had enough willingness to do whatever it took. And that's what the real truth is at the end of the day. Am I willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober? Because once I have something else that's in my way, that is the thing. When it doesn't come my way, I will go get drunk every single time. That's been my solution, you know, and I've had to learn how to live that way. And then my favorite thing is burn the idea. That means we're going to use some flame.
Yay.
And the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The only conditions that he trusted and clean. The catch there. All right, I got God beside me. Step 3, I'm good. Let's keep going. Oh, I have to do 4 through 11, right? I have to clean house. You know, I have to clean house. I have to be wrong. I have to know where I'm wrong. I have to learn where I'm wrong, how to make that right. And then I have to go do that. I remember I have an amends. I'm gonna tell the story. We're talking about amends. So I have a story. I had stolen someone's identity. I was supposed to go to jail. And nobody knew about it. And I went to go try to turn myself in, right? And they called the Norfolk police. The Norfolk police say they can't do anything about it. I'm like, fine. Talk to sponsor. He's like, let's write a letter. So we write a letter. The people press charges. I come back, right? But I'm a good citizen in the world. And in this good citizen, they want to give me seven months. The prosecutor did. And then I was like, let's take it. Sponsorship is sort of mean, because they'll do stupid stuff like say, hey, why don't we go see what God has in store and go to the inn, right? So we're gonna go to the inn and see what God has in store. So we go to the inn, we see what God has in store, we get there, and the judge looks at me and they say something as simple as, they were like, so let me get this straight, Ms. Parker, no one knew about this, you turned yourself in and now you're here to make it right. I'm like, yep, right, I gotta clean this house. And so she's like, I don't know what to do with you. And I just said, well, most people don't, I just have a mouth that doesn't shut up, but hey. And so they still want to give me 7 months. My lawyer wanted to give me a year. Then the judge said, I'm just going to give him 30 days because I want him back out doing whatever it is he's doing. And that's the direct result of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the direct result of God, right? And cleaning house. And in those moments, like I went to go turn myself in like I was supposed to, and the paperwork wasn't right. I went to go turn myself in again, and the paperwork still wasn't right. I went to turn myself in a third time. The paperwork still wasn't right. I then looked at my sponsor and said, what does it take for a Black man to get arrested in Virginia? Because it's hard. Because it was hard to just get arrested. I don't understand. And so in that thing, then I go turn myself in the fourth time, and I go in, and the first guy I meet is this guy who's getting sober in prison. He got sober in prison. He was doing his last bid, and we became good. And then this other kid comes in, and in that he felt if he stopped drinking and driving, he'd be fine. He didn't realize drinking and fighting was really his problem. And so then I was neatly equipped to start talking about drinking, right? I was neatly equipped to talk about my experience right there, right? So I start talking about my experience, and then we start going through the book of Alcoholics Anonymous right here in that. So that is like that is where without cleaning house, I could not have had that experience. Without cleaning house, I would have never had a 12-step experience in a place where I should have had none. My sponsor said to me in that moment, he said, hey, when you go in there, go and see where you can be helpful. I was like, are you serious? I remember. And I was like, what's wrong with you, bro? But I did. In spite of what I believe, it is about living differently. Because when I think about my life, drinking and an Alcoholics Anonymous, you give me a solution to my problem, right? And that I've discovered by doing these 12 steps over and over again and being of service. Thank you. I know I shared a lot. I apologize. Sorry. Thanks.
Nonsense is the part that I like a lot, because it sounds like something my sponsor would say, except he wouldn't say nonsense. And he said it to me. But you know, it says job or no job, wife or no wife. And I don't know how many addicts and that have had all these caveats, you know, like if I just have this back, or if I have this job, or if my wife comes back, or if I get this back, then I can recover. And I want to be like, no, it's not. So I want to yell at them and be like, no, you have to prioritize yourself. You can recover without all that stuff. And you know, for me, I had a lot of stuff before coming in here, where it wasn't necessarily like, if I have this, it was like, this hasn't happened to me, so I'm still okay. I'm not a true alcoholic because I'm not homeless yet. I still have my job. So I must be all right, right? But I was like lying to myself all the time. And that went on for a long time until it came down to like, oh, I'm not going to be here anymore if I don't quit drinking. So I had no choice but to trust in something other than myself, something bigger than me. And that's a tough pill to swallow, especially like, you know, I wasn't an atheist or an agnostic when I came in here, but I know a lot of people are. And to hear that sentence where the only condition is that he trusts in God and clean house, that's got to be kind of a hard thing to hear, I would imagine. You're like, oh man, this is my way out. It's God. And you're like, oh man, that sucks. But you know, my advice for somebody like that, and I hear people talk about this a lot, where they say they tell their sponsor told them, or they tell their sponsees that, you know, can you believe that I believe, and can you believe that God helped me? And I think that's wise advice, because, you know, it's obviously working for a lot of us, you know, there's a lot of proof walking around these rooms, that this thing works. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man. And he can get well regardless of anyone. This little portion that we read is just like a share in and of itself.
Yep.
It says a lot that I don't need to say. I don't need to add on to. That's pretty much all I got for that. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to continue on page 98. Now the domestic problem. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can, little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can then be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness.
The last line's the funniest. These can be, oh, wait a minute. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. I've had so many people cling on that line. Oh, they're going to be wrong. Good. Yeah, they're going to be wrong. Right. And so I don't know. I don't know. But I do know I've seen a lot of people and their families get back together, and people stay sober. People walk through divorce when they first get sober. I've watched people walk through divorce while being sober. I've watched people get their families back. Like, there's no, I don't know about this line. You know, like, I think that my experience in it depends on what I put into this program will depend on what I'm ready to handle when it's my time. And like, my experience says, like, I'm a guy who got married in Alcoholics Anonymous and thought it was like a great idea. The person was going to be fantastic because I just had an idea about what that looked like. And then when we got married, it didn't work out, you know, we got a divorce, and I had to learn. I had to walk through that. But I do know that in that time, God gave me a bunch of sponsees to work with at that time that kept me busy. I was really busy in Alcoholics Anonymous. My business was flying. I was so busy that I didn't have time. But when everything got a chance to slow down, and I was good. I was good. And I didn't get drunk. I didn't want to get drunk. I didn't get high. I didn't want to get high. You know what I mean? Like, I was good. You know, like I was so busy doing the things that were good for me that I didn't care about the things that were bad. And I didn't want to do those things, but I got through it. And that's what I've learned in albums. Like, for me, it's like, it doesn't matter like what I'm trying to get. I'm going to get what I'm going to get. If it's going to be money, I'm going to get it. If it's going to be a partner, it's going to be, if it's going to be a job, I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get, period. I have faith in that answer, right? But the problem with that is, what am I doing to do it? Am I managing it? Or am I going, all right, God, I'm doing the actions the best of my ability, and now I'm going to go take care of your kids. And that's the discovery that I'm learning. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, if, you know, in my separation, we tried for a year to like work on some stuff, and it just didn't work, you know, and it didn't work, but it doesn't give me a right to go get drunk. It does give me a right to get drunk if I want to, because that's the kind of drunk I am. That's a right to get drunk. But I did, you know what I mean? But I also know how, what happens to me, you know, I know what I lose. I lose things. I lose everything. I lose me, you know. I was just walking around my apartment today thinking, like, how did you get here? How are you okay with being, you know, like, how are you okay with, like, the dog and taking care of the dog and going to the grocery store and not being on the phone 500 times an hour? Like, how did you get here? Because that guy, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I got there. I know that I did Alcoholics Anonymous, and one day I woke up and I was okay with being alone. And the problem, like, I love about this thing is like, little by little, family may see their own defects and admit them. Little by little, they may. And little by little, they may not, right? But these can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. The point of my, like, relationships with my mom, with my grandmother, with my pops, with everything that's going on in my life is, like, everything we discuss is in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. My mom and I, she giggles at me. She goes, you're just happy. You know what I mean? But she's like, but in that helpfulness is, like, when she was sick, I couldn't be like, you're going to do what I say. I had to be like, how is this going to be helpful for her to get what she needs? And how is it going to be helpful for me so I don't have to strangle her behind? Right? Because that's the truth. Right? But at the end of the day, the truth was she just needed me to be there. She didn't need me. She needed me to be there, to be her son for just a few hours, just to be like, hey, do you need anything? You're good with this? Love you. And that was all she needed. And she did the rest of it. And that's the thing I have to learn about. And this thing is, I want it to be my way. When I got here, I wanted to look like rainbows and unicorn farts forever. Family together, check. Da, 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 da. Everything looks perfect, but it doesn't. It's not my job to put it together. It's my job to walk through the togetherness and end up. So that's all.
Okay. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. You know, in my experience, when I concentrate on doing these actions that you guys tell me, and I take that seriously and I commit to this program, a lot of other things fall in place. You know, when what my life looked like when I came in here was not great on paper. It did not look very good. But the longer I was in here, like, things just started to happen, good things that I wasn't used to. And I was like, what is happening in my life? Then somebody said to me one time, they're like, these are the promises, nine steps happening in your life. It's kind of wild. It's kind of crazy. Got a new job, a new car. I was like, whoa, this is wild. But, you know, I have to be careful, too, is one thing I was thinking when reading this. For me, I'm one of those people that in Alcoholics Anonymous, when things get good for me, I can start slipping, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I don't need this. Maybe I don't need to do what they tell me to do anymore because life's pretty good. And then before I know it, like, things start slipping little by little, and then I'm miserable again. And I'm like wondering why. Like, maybe it's because I stopped doing everything I was doing before. And that's exactly what happened to me. That's why I picked up another white chip. I got the things that I wanted. You know, I'm so glad that I get to still be here with you guys, because a lot of people never make it back, you know? I see people, I don't know how many people I've seen come in these rooms, and like, I'm like so happy for them. You know, I hear them share, like, my wife came back, you know, my kids are talking to me again. You know, they got however many days they got, 90 days. And then, like, all of a sudden, you know, you stop seeing them. You don't see them anymore. It's because things got good, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I got my life back. I don't need this anymore. I got to be real careful of that. Somebody like me, like, things get good. I'm like, whew. That scares me, honestly. I got to be real careful. Yeah, that's all I got. Thanks.
All right, page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances are in.
So this is an interesting paragraph, right? Because I love how they're like, they use God, follow the dictates of a higher power. It was very clearly thought out to not say the word God there, right? To be very like, no. Like it's open, all roomy and inclusive. And then I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, a gay man, Baptist, raised, going to hell, fire, brimstone guy. Like that's how I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And so there was a lot of like setting aside old ideas. I love where I think you already did it, but like see where the earlier in the chapter it says something. Where it's like, maybe we haven't got there yet. We'll get there. Who knows? I can't find it. What it talks about is seeing where religious people are right, and I have next to it not where they are wrong. Because I can always say where they're wrong. They are wrong. Can you believe that he did and Tammy Faye and blah, blah, you know what I mean? Like I can go on for where they're wrong, but finding out where they're right, where they're kindness, where you're looking for, you know, trying to be helping people and tolerant to the best of their abilities. And the one thing I love about this whole process that all of the things that I've been thinking about is like, I am a human being. That means I will always, because I can never be perfect. If I'm perfect, I'm a God. And that is the truth about me. Like I'm not, that is why I'm not good enough. I am good enough. Be my friend, don't be my friend. Don't like it because I'm human. Because I want to be this guy who's perfect. And so in this humanity, I need something greater than myself to help me walk through this. And in that, like, it's a battle. Like, what is God? What is higher power? That's malarkey. What, you know, I don't know what to, right? But I mean, like sun of the moon and the stars, three place with a pink moon, pizza pie. Like, what are we talking about here? You know, and the people talking about stupid things like doorknobs. Those people are idiots though, really. Doorknob people, they're just idiots. I don't care what nobody, they're just, I mean, like until you like 3 years sober, I walk out my door, my doorknob falls off of my hand. I'm like, oh my God, faith. It's not about God, it's about faith. That's the whole point of the whole message, right? Faith. I have faith in that doorknob. When I lock that door, I can walk around my house naked. My things are going to be okay. My dog's okay. I can leave my food. I can take care of myself. I can sleep peacefully because my doorknob is locked. The faith in that doorknob is super, it's stronger than anything I've had in my whole entire life. It's so strong that I don't even know I have it until it was taken away. And that's all Alcoholics Anonymous is reminding me about. God, faith. Faith in something else besides myself, because faith in myself got me here. Look at it. It's pretty. Basement, church, people, Monday night. I should be doing something else. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is where faith in myself got me. I mean, like, but, you know what I mean? Like, that's where it got me. But that's what it's like. That's what I'm being asked to look at when I'm talking about God, this faith in myself. And I love here where it says, I'm sorry, I forgot where we're at. We're 100. I remember now. Mm-hmm. When, who cares? I'm done. All right. It'll come to me again.
I love that I'm sharing with you tonight. So this sentence, both you and day by day, full transparency. Because when I read that, so every time and all that, and a little bit, talking to other alcoholics, and I'm talking about, we're like, we're walking hand in hand all the time. Man. It's what we do, like, when we're here. And it's it took like three people telling me that to realize that. it's like oh yeah, they're right. We are doing that all the time. And I wanted to also touch on what is this? When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hand. I love that. Because I have lots of plan. I have inner how I and a lot of times, most of the time, it doesn't go the way that I wanted to go. But when I put my life in God's hands, things go how they need to go mm-hmm. and I'm taken care of. And then it might take a while, but I'll look back on it like 3 months later, 6 months later. I'm like, that's exactly what needed to happen. This is exactly where I need to be. This is a pretty beautiful thing we got. I don't have much else. That's what I got.
Thanks, Derek. Okay, continuing on page 100. Assuming we are spiritually fit. We can do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide all their bottles if we go into their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience shows that this is not necessarily so. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap. And even there, as an Eskimo, might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcohol problem.
Okay, first of all, assuming, first, who gets to decide? I guess because now if I'm making the assumption, I'm always spiritual fit. So somebody helps me. And, right. But that line is just super, super important because it's really like the precursor to anything I can or will do after that. Right. Assuming that I have done, I've called a sponsor, talk with somebody else. You know what I mean? Read a book, prayed, all those things that are important. And I'm spiritually fit. I can do. When I first got here, I was like, yeah, I'm a bartender by trade. When I first got here, I was like, today I bartend still. Like I just bartended at a wedding on Saturday, ran into one of our regular members that I knew from here. Like we were chatting and checking up on stuff. I have like a special rag, you know what I mean? A special cup. I have like pre-think game, right? But then there's moments when in that thing, it's like, I also remember there was a time, there was like three people from Alcoholics Anonymous I knew, right? And I was at an event, I was bartending, and they're supposed to be at Alcoholics Anonymous because I'm judging. And so they come up to the bar and they want a drink and I give them a drink. And then I'm like freaking the F out, like I'm freaking out. So I run downstairs and I get on the phone, right? And I'm like, blah, 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 to my sponsor. And he's like, well, what's your job? And I'm like, to be a bartender. He goes, then why don't you go do that? And I'm like, yeah! And I'm like, ah! And then I go do my job, right? Because it's my job. I'm going to do my job. And that's the thing I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been in some crack dens, not on purpose, but you know what I mean? Like you end up there because you're going to go help somebody and you're like, what? You know what I mean? Like you end up in some places here in Alcoholics Anonymous. But it's not about going there to go there, right? It's about knowing that I have a power greater than myself that will walk, and I don't have to be afraid of what that will look like. What's it going to look like when I'm a bartender? What's it going to look like when I have to go help somebody? What does it look like when I go to Greenland? You know what I mean? And then Eskimo shows up. I don't have to worry about it. Am I spiritually fit? Have I prayed today? I got up and prayed today. All right, God. And they're like, you want a bottle? I say, no. Like, it's weird. Sometimes people are like, give me a bottle of wine. I'm like, that's very nice. Thank you. And I'm like, sometimes I go, I don't drink. And just, I don't drink. But you can give it to somebody else who cares. You know, I don't say that. That's rude. Have I said that? I'll have to think about that. I'll let you know. I don't know. Maybe I have. I might owe an amends. But I mean, like in this process, it's about being able to be who I am, all of who I am. You know, I didn't get sober to be like scared of Iran, the true Iran. You know what I mean? I got sober to be me, all of me, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the indifferent. And here, when I do these things, when I'm connected to God, I've got this spiritual fitness. You know what I mean? Like in my life, like I can do anything. I can go anywhere. I can go to my mother's house. That was a hard thing to do, you know, for a while, you know, and then I can take care of the truth about it. I don't have to worry about it when I'm taking actions. But when I'm not taking actions, you know, it's not pretty. It's just not pretty. Just take the actions. It's easier. I just suggest take the actions. It's not pretty when I'm not taking it. And then the one thing I want to say last is this. Our experience shows that this is not necessary. So we meet these conditions every day. On the radio, the billboards, the 7-Eleven line, the Harris Teeter, the drunk on the street, the guy begging for change, the people that we walk through, the guy that smells like beer next to you at work. Like, we meet these conditions every day. So it's about me being spiritually fit every day. Because I meet those conditions, those things that I am afraid of, I meet them every day. I don't want to get drunk. I don't want to get drunk. I don't fucking want to get drunk. So what am I going to do about not getting drunk? I'm going to take the actions. But I prayed, made an amends. I'm going to do that inventory tonight to find out if I said that. But I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got to make it right. This is about living. I didn't come to Alcoholics Anonymous to hide. I did not. I did not come here to hide. I did not survive all of the blanks and low spots to hide. I came to live, and I live here by taking these actions. And I can go anywhere. And for a guy like me, I can go anywhere and do anything, if assuming.
That's exactly what I thought sobriety was like years ago. Alcoholics Anonymous, sobriety was hiding and just white knuckling it all the time. And I was like, well, that sounds like the most miserable, like, hell on earth experience ever. So I'm just going to continue to drink until it kills me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it was about to kill me. I was like, well, I got to do something else. I'm going to have to find something bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So this assuming we are spiritually fit part, you know, I know exactly what it looks like for me when I'm spiritually fit and when I'm not spiritually, when I'm spiritually fit, like a couple of weeks ago, I go to some costume party here in Norfolk at a bar for the costume. And about an hour, 2 hours into the night, I was just like, I just didn't want to be there anymore. Like, it's not because I'm afraid I'm going to drink. I'm just like, I don't have any business being here.
Yep.
What is my purpose here? What is my motive for being here? It's just not where I need to be. But when I'm not spiritually fit, I'm in trouble before I even go to that
country. Yeah.
You know, because these things have started to creep in my mind, these ideas again, like, oh, maybe one's not, won't be a bad idea. Maybe I have enough time to where it won't be a big deal. And, you know, I've experienced that. I know what that's like when I stop doing the things that I know I need to do. And, you know, the depression and misery and restlessness starts to kick back in. And then I start to wonder if maybe I'm like not as bad an alcoholic as I once thought I was. And then I'm in real fucking trouble when something bad happens, the low spots, because then I'm like, ease and comfort looks real good. And it did. And that's exactly what happened to me. Like I said, I'm grateful to have made it back, and I'm grateful that I never left you guys. But when I'm recovered, I've been through the steps, I'm spiritually fit, you know, Iran was saying, I can do whatever, I can live a normal life. I did not think that was possible. I cannot stress that enough. Prior to coming in here, I mean, if you would have seen, like, if I had a before picture of what I look like before coming in here and what my life was like, you'd understand like how much I didn't believe this was possible. It's really a miracle. Like, I know that word gets thrown around a lot, but the solution that we have here in this fellowship really is a miracle today. And I'm forever grateful to be a part of it. That's all I got.
All right, moving on to page 102. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking? Sighing about the good old days. If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with those motives, and God will keep you unharmed.
So, first of all, try to increase the pleasures of those there so it's not about me. That sucks. You know, I mean, like, that's the, it's, but it's my attitude, right? That's all they're asking me to do is like, make, is my attitude in the right space? Go and do, if I'm going to go to work, go work. If I'm going to be pleasure, go with, if it's not going to work, stay home. Stay home. There's a choice to stay home. You could just stay home. Oh, dang. That's the point. I never thought there was a point to stay home. It's always go and have a good time for it. Like, that's always the things I do. I love that. And then I love this. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. I have found that to be a very true statement. About like the fifth time they ask you, they just stop. Or they go, why? And I'd be like, child, let me tell you. And you know, and then, but I've also discovered that like, when I go to these places and do what I'm supposed to do, and I get out of it, you know, like if I go to a wedding as a guest and I go and be helpful, it's freaking nice. Like, oh, well, look at that. Let me help. Oh, look at the, that's leaning. Let me pick that up. Oh, the bride needs a little blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on, grandma, let's dance again. You know what I mean? Like, there's, what is my attitude when I walk in? Is my attitude about what am I sighing about the good old? I remember when Bobby was my boyfriend and he married Christopher, and now we're sitting here, might as well get drunk. I don't want to. The point, like, this is about what, how I live today, though, right? And what I bring to the table. But the catch to all of this really is, by the time I get here, this instruction isn't about anything more than remind the 11th. This step is about, this paragraph is about, hey, you're going to go to parties now. Guess what? Oh, you, no, we're not talking about ourselves anymore. Where can we be helpful? Where can be useful? Go do your business. Get out. You know what I mean? Like, this step is, this paragraph is reminding me that I to be of maximum helpfulness to those. And where do I end these steps with these people? And the best part is, like, if I don't want to go, I don't, and it's okay. But I can go, hey, I want to blah, 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 let's go, da, 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 da. I don't have to make any decision by myself anymore, which is kind of super cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's super cool. I don't have to make any decisions by myself. And the last thing I'm going to say is, keep on the firing line with those motives, and God will. That means go live. It's going to happen. Cars are going to catch on fire. People are going to die. You know what I mean? Like, everything's going to happen to you. But guess what? God has kept me. I've not wanted to take a drink. So if you're new, I will suggest that you find someone who's properly armed. This means that they know that once they start, they cannot stop, and that will constantly get them drunk, who's willing to take you through the steps of alcoholics, which I have found to be in the book named Alcoholics, and One Step at a Time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Yeah, I love that it's telling you to live. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. I mean, and I was definitely dangerously antisocial when I was drinking. I didn't hang out with it. If I went to the bar, I went by myself, especially towards the end. And it's like, they basically saying like, okay, you've recovered. You can live a life now. You can continue to live. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I know we're running out of time. I wanted to touch on this. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You know, I was thinking on my way over here, I think about this a lot. I always remember where I came from prior to being in here. I remember what it was like. I like to think about those times because it makes me grateful. And you know, I remember thinking to myself, there was so many nights where I would be drinking by myself, crying, listening like Elliott Smith, the most depressing music ever. I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but just bawling, like, why can't I figure this out? Like, this is hell on earth. And I was like, I remember, I guess I was talking to God. I don't know who I was talking to, But I was like, if I ever make it out of this, if I ever get out of this dark, deep hole that I'm in somehow, and I don't die, my job is to help other people and to tell them that they can get help too. So if you're new, there is a way out. If you're miserable, you don't have to be miserable forever. We have a solution here, and it's worked for me, and it's worked for countless other people. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. I'm on the verge of tears again, but I don't know. I love all you guys. Thanks for having me. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, we have one last reading. We don't have time for them to share on it, but I want to read it. So
that's
after
unfair.
All, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to.
What a great statement for us to not be able to share on, because we cease fighting anyone or anyone. Continue.
I know. You can call your sponsor.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. Actually, it was perfect.
Thank our two speakers for bringing the fire. You can thank them individually after the meeting, and we're going to pass the 7 tradition basket. You can sign up for email on our website at simpleactions.net. We do have PayPal and Venmo. We have a little sign over there that has QR code on it. The 7 tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the 7th tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting space for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA related announcements? Ed? Does anyone from our home group have an Morgan?
I'm Morgan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Morgan.
This home group right here, Simple Action, beautiful pumpkin flyers that you guys should definitely take with
pumpkin.
You, are having an event next Monday right here in this room called Suffering. Food at 6, speaker at 7. It is a potluck, so please bring something. The speaker is going to be Lauren M. from Richmond.
Lauren?
Oh, yeah. Y'all should definitely come to that. It's going to be a blast. Thanks.
Any other announcements?
Thanks, Bo.
Thanks. Hi. Thank you. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Literature is available. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you need any literature. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in AAs is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us or email us at info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Can you tell we're really impressed with our website? Meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial.
Nice.
Closing.
Time.
Thank you again, Iran and Derek, for sharing. And thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, we will have a chance to come up and say thank you. And Ryan has volunteered to read the last two paragraphs on page 164. Hey, Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. Okay, and we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer, circling up.
Oh, nice.
Lord, hallowed be thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread.